Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in the 22nd and 23rd chapters of Luke, the Passion History according to Luke, which will be read before the end of our service today. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you'll inspire us by your Holy Spirit that we might deny ourselves, take up the cross of Jesus Christ, and follow him. In his name we pray. Amen. A month ago, we had our annual conference meeting here at ISU at the campus religious center. One of the discussion groups was led by the students, and the title of the discussion group was What 20-somethings Are Looking For in a Church Home. I tried to guess the answer before I went to the discussion group. Informal worship service, a praise band, contemporary worship service, electronic equipment, and certainly a service that's later in the day and not early in the morning. All of those were significant. But I was pleasantly surprised to find out that what students were looking for more than anything else was authenticity. We're looking for people who are authentic to the Christian faith. Last month, I received a late Christmas letter from a high school classmate of mine named Ted. Ted sent his Christmas letter late because he had a difficult year last year. Many years ago, I returned to my hometown in Northwest Iowa to marry Ted and Kathy. Kathy was a classmate of my brother. Kathy's first husband had died of cancer. Her father had died of cancer. Since then, Kathy has died of cancer. And the Christmas letter from Ted tells of the death of their daughter, Mandy, by cancer. Ted is a very active and faithful member of the Reformed Church in that community. But he cannot help but ask himself the question, is the message of the Christian faith really authentic? Did you catch that beautiful line in our gospel last Sunday? The context was that Jesus had just given life to Lazarus that caused his death. How ironic, giving life, causing death. There was nothing that those people there, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, anybody else was going to do to stop what was ahead. But there was one thing that Mary could do. She took a pound of costly ointment, knelt down on her knees, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. How beautiful and how authentic. Sometimes it appears that the Christian faith is not too authentic. We can pretty easily get the idea that it's otherworldly and idealistic. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. It is in losing our life that we find it. Death is the beginning of a new creation. The Beatitudes tell us that this is the poor who are blessed. And we say to ourselves, that can't be. This must be an April Fool's joke. We need something or someone to make that message authentic. And until it does become authentic, we probably are not going to believe it. Therefore, I propose to you on this Sunday of the Passion of our Lord that it is in the events of this day, of this week, that Jesus Christ becomes authentic to us. And in Jesus Christ becoming authentic, the message of the Christian faith becomes authentic. Therefore, I'd like to have us look at four points that are strongly emphasized in the Gospel of Luke to show in the Passion History, in Luke 22 and 23, to show the authenticity of Jesus Christ. Number one, Jesus is innocent. Three times Pilate said that Jesus was innocent. Pilate even said that Herod said that Jesus was innocent. The criminal on the cross affirms his innocence. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. And the centurion who watched the entire experience praised God and said, certainly this man was innocent. The assembly brought Jesus before Pilate, saying, he is perverting our nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar. But as readers of the Gospel of Luke, we know that two chapters earlier, Jesus said to the people, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give to God the things that are God's. Jesus is accused of stirring up the crowd. Yet it is Barabbas who was released, who was guilty of insurrection. Jesus is buried as an innocent person. Criminals do not receive the treatment that Joseph of Arimathea gave to Jesus. He took him down from the cross, wrapped him in a cloth, and laid him in a tomb. In the end, the crowds left beating their breast. They were filled with sorrow and repentance because they knew that Jesus was innocent. Luke takes great pains to tell us and to point out that Jesus Christ was innocent. A second thing unique to the Gospel of Luke, not unique to the Gospel of Luke, but strongly emphasized in the Gospel of Luke, is that Jesus' death is his destiny. Not his fate, his destiny, he chose it. There are three predictions in the Gospel of Luke telling us exactly what is going to happen before the crucifixion. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Three times Jesus says, it is necessary. And three times after the resurrection, Jesus said, it was necessary. What happened was the plan of God, it was the will of God, and it was in accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus' agonizing prayer on the Mount of Olives points out that death was his destiny. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. His death was his destiny. A third important point emphasized in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus' death confirms his life. People observed how somebody died. If somebody died in a noble way, that confirmed what they had said and taught throughout their life. Jesus' death confirms his life, confirms his teachings. Throughout Jesus' life, throughout the Gospel of Luke, we read of Jesus encouraging his disciples and encouraging us to forgive. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spoke three times from the cross. Two of those three times are about forgiveness. First of all, he forgave those who crucified him, and in the end, he turned to the thief and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus began his ministry by saying he came to bring good news to the poor and release to the captives. He ends by giving assurance to the thief. That's consistent with all of his ministry. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Three times the crowds tell Jesus, come down from the cross. Prove that you are the Messiah. Prove that you are the Son of God. Jesus did not come down from the cross because his mission was not to save himself. His mission was, in fact, to save other people. Jesus' death confirms his life. It confirms his teachings. And the fourth, strong theme that we find in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus is a model of discipleship. We believe that Luke, Acts were written by the same person. Therefore, we say in the second volume of Luke, we read of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And what Stephen said before his death was so similar to what Jesus said before his death that we have to believe that Jesus was a model for Stephen. Before Stephen died, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The last thing Jesus said was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then Stephen said, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Many Christians throughout the ages have followed Jesus as an example in their trials. Simon of Cyrene became a disciple of Jesus as he carried the cross for him. Jesus' life and death are models of discipleship. Four strong themes we find in the Passion history according to Luke. Jesus was innocent. His death was his destiny. His death confirms his life, and his life is a model of discipleship. That shows to us that Jesus was authentic. Jesus being authentic makes the message of the Christian faith authentic, and Jesus calls us as followers of his to make the Christian message authentic to others. Wednesday afternoon, after Dick Christian's funeral, I received a telephone call from our oldest son. He said, "Dad, I have something to tell you that you're not going to want to hear." And my heart sank. A very good friend of mine, of ours, Dave Potts, had died very unexpectedly the night before at the age of 59. I've talked about Dave and his wife, Char, here before at COJ. They have an adult daughter, Kelly, who is severely mentally and physically handicapped. And we talked about how difficult it was to place Kelly into a home, Trinity Living Center, which is between Joliet and New Lenox. Since that time, Dave and Char have become co-chairpersons of the fundraising drive for that home out of their efforts to show appreciation for that ministry. Dave was the director of GAVC in Morris, the Grundy Area Vocational Center. He knew people very well throughout the entire county. Schools from all the county fed into that center. His visitation is this afternoon, and I'm sure there will be many, many, many people there. Dave was a very active member of our congregation. He helped organize not only our softball team, but the entire softball league as well. He was president of the congregation and president of the church council. Dave and Char were sponsors of our high school youth group. Even when they had Kelly at home, they found time to do that. And he was often a teacher in our adult education program. When I left, Dave was elected chairperson of the call committee. Let's just say things didn't go too well. And Dave got crucified. That was about 5 years ago. Sometime since the first of the year, Dave came here to Bloomington, to fly out of Bloomington to go to a conference for a week in Atlanta. Before he left, we had breakfast together at IHOP. When I was driving to IHOP, I wondered, well, what in the world are we going to talk about? 5 minutes into the conversation, he went through the whole thing again, blow by blow. His wounds are deep. They were right there below the surface, something he was always thinking about, a pain he was always feeling. Eventually, he left that congregation and became a member of the Methodist Church in that community. Tomorrow, I will be participating in his funeral at that church. Sometimes, in our efforts to be authentic leaders of the Christian faith, we too get crucified. Tomorrow, we will thank God for those people who have helped to make the Christian faith authentic. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.